Welcome to Planet Marzipan Podcast,
your fish and Marillion podcast,
where we talk about all things in the planet of Marillion and fish. I'm Meza, and here's my mate,
Craig Houston.
Welcome back to Planet Marzipan, review of the year 2023. It's a round table review. I'm here with my friend.
Craig.
Ooh, sultry.
Sexy.
Sexy. Oh, come on, the FN just went, Houston, is it just all take the piss as usual? So come on, figure it on.
Craig Houston.
There we go.
Can you do Craig Houston in a sexy voice?
I can't because my voice is cold. That's what happens when you could have been cold for 3 weeks.
His voice is always sexy.
Oh, you sweet.
Especially when he says remaster. He goes all posh.
Yes.
If you made it this far into the pod, then you're determined to listen to some rubbish. So, as I was about to say, I'm here with Craig and Gary and Mike and Barnsley and Mark. We've lost somebody in the interim. Who's lost interest. But we do thank Lucy for being on the first half. I think she's gone to watch Gardener's Question Time or something. But anyway, if you've heard the first half, you'll know that our review of the year is up to July. And as with the first episode, we're going to start with a fish release. In July, the deluxe remix of 13 Star came out.
And a very nice package it is.
It is a lovely package.
You haven't opened yours, John.
I have. It's in the, you know, mainel. It's there, look. Yeah.
Well, you're doing it that way.
Leave it on, you know, collecting.
Did you pay the extra for him to sign it?
Oh, no.
I'm more interested in Mark, so.
What have you got there, Mr. Kennedy?
It's the instructions for my Lego.
Princess
Leia helmet.
Lego infiltrated the last podcast, so.
A bit of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Craig and I have talked about this, Mark. Mike, sorry.
Yeah.
What's your view on this remix?
I really like it. It was one of my favourite albums of his. The whole story around him and Heather and, you know, all the bits that went on. Yeah. But I actually thought he was in a really good place when he was writing it, when he recorded it. He seemed to be happy. He seemed to have a really good band behind him. Everything seemed to be... Well, no, I thought it was at the time.
Have you watched the DVD, the Blu-ray?
No, I haven't watched it yet. Ruri's coming over for New Year, right. And we're doing all the box sets together. Some that haven't even been opened. But it was a really good tour as well. I think I'd done most of the dates on that tour.
Yeah, the tour was excellent.
Yeah, so... it was a really good tour. And it's still one of my favourite albums that he's done. I love the artwork. Do you know the bit about the, you know, the boy on the beach, the backside? Well, the...
That's not your bum, is it?
No, did Mark not tell you the story?
We didn't talk. We talked a little bit about fish artwork, but nothing much about this.
Yeah, well, the boy's his son.
Right.
But it's not his son's bum because he thought that'd be a really bit weird. So he got his neighbour in to do it. And I think that's even more weird. Yeah,
which is considerably less
and
weird.
And you wonder why Mark Wilkinson didn't talk to us about that on a podcast.
Yeah, about that.
It's brilliant. It's a really sturdy box. The remix is, it was a great sounding album anyway, but the remix brings out layers that you've never heard before. There's a full CD of live stuff, full CD of demos. It's got the original documentary and the new documentary on. Yeah. And when you see it, Mike, you'll know he was not in a good place.
Yeah.
He was absolutely floored by the split with Heather.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. The split was terrible.
But also, it's the start of the fallout with Frank as well.
Yeah,
it's all covered. I mean, we talked about this before. Love or hate fish, I like the fact he's so honest. I know some fans have a problem with that, but I love it. I think it's great. He's been very. I mean, we'll talk in a minute about the reissues that he's trying to put out at the minute. He's just totally honest with fans.
Where's his harness leaf?
Yeah. But this is highly, highly recommended, this box. We covered it in an episode, separate episode, but it is brilliant. You agree, Craig?
Ah, yes. Me, Mark, Mr. Kennedy, we went to the launch gig up in Edinburgh, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we went to a few. Did you go to the when he played the O2 in Newcastle as well? Were you at that one? And there was
The
another.
what?
Oh, no, it was in Paradiso again as well. Saw him at Paradiso with Vanessa and one of my friends. I think that was our first date,
Yeah, I'm not
actually.
exactly Paradiso gig.
Okay, later on in July, then was the debut of the An Hour Before It Start Live in Leicester 2022 on the Space, which is a great film. I really wish they'd release it. I know why they don't, because Tim needs some exclusive content for the Space, but it's a brilliant, brilliant film. It really is. I'm glad we waited because what we've got now from Port Zealand is even better. But that's a great film as well.
Because we were when we were in Leicester for that night, we were sitting upstairs, weren't we?
We sat in the balcony,
Yeah, it was a good night as well that night, wasn't it? For you know, just epic, wasn't it? The whole thing really, it just worked really well that night, I thought.
John, where would you rank it on the Crow and the Nightingale scale? Because I went to see H at Trading Boundaries last week, and he played Crow and the Nightingale, and I just think of you all the time now. So
Well,
you're synonymous with that song.
he wouldn't have cried this time
I hope
if you
that
knew the
hasn't spoiled
title.
it for you,
No,
Gary.
it makes me think of you in a good way. It's
But
just
Gary, that version of Trading Boundaries is probably the best version ever.
It
It
was
was
amazing.
amazing.
The Leicester 2022, I was just absolutely dissolving. I mean, I just went, I lost it completely at the point where Rother's solo kicks in the Crow. I mean, it still gets me now, that point in the song, but that was the first time seeing it with a full production and everything in Leicester. It's just
That was
absolutely
a great
stunning.
show. I love that show. It's great.
And then not much else in July, unless was, I presume, was Mr. H out in July, Mike?
Yeah, that's when it started. So
Oh, yeah.
first gig was in Liverpool. So this was his jaunt out of his first of 21 shows in 5 months. So Liverpool Metropolitan Cathedral sold out. That was the Saturday night. Always a storm in Liverpool, always sells out really quickly. Always, he's got a real affinity with Liverpool. Good
I
humor
think
from the
why.
audience. It gets a bit leery. There's a bit of drink goes on, but it's always a good show. So really good start to the H Natural tour. And then moved on into the holidays in Sweden, the six shows going around Sweden.
No, that didn't sell as well as was expected. If was
No,
it?
it was well, yeah, not for
There
me.
was some strange venues as well. There was a hotel lobby and
Yeah,
stuff,
there were some
wasn't there?
really strange venues. Like the first night in Malmo was a gorgeous, gorgeous theatre, but very few people there.
Did I not read that that is peak holiday time over there as well?
So it's their holiday week, or they have a holiday fortnight in Scandinavia, where people basically go to their holiday cabins or on holiday out of the country. So it was a strange time to tour. It was also a strange time to go on stage. He was going on stage at 6:30, which was 5:30 in England. So on a 6:30 or on a 5:30 in England, off a 7:30 back in the hotel at 8 o'clock. It was really strange.
Wow.
One of the shows was in a place called, and I'm not going to pronounce it right. I know I'm not, Obero, and it was in a lobby of a hotel. Me and Phil were trying to get him to sing Hotel Lobbies.
That would have been cool.
But that was actually a really that turned out to be a really good show, and that was a bit of a format, a bit like Trading Boundaries and Crooked Billet, where it's a sit down meal, candlelit meal, and then the artist comes on once you've had your dessert and does a show. But yeah, just a bit strange in a hotel lobby.
Moving into August, then, I've got this, which is the clear vinyl reissue of All One
Oh
Tonight.
yeah, the German
Interesting.
record state.
Well,
Yeah.
it is, but there's nothing on the sticker of mine that sort of alludes to that.
Well, I think mine does. It does say German record store day.
Or something else, something similar.
Yeah.
Does it?
What does yours say
Limited
then?
four LP edition crystal clear vinyl. Nothing about record store day of mine, but it came out in August in Germany, and then it came out in Europe on the 1st of September, I think. So it's kind of in that period. But it's a really nice pressing. It's all 180 gram. I mean, it's already a fantastic live album, but it looks and sounds fantastic as well. Highly recommended. Think it's still
Yes.
available, isn't it, Mark?
No, it's sold out. Totally sold out. We had like 20, for some reason, 20 copies ended up over here to go on the tour.
Right.
And we sold 19 of those. One of them accidentally fell out on the way to the on the way to Utrecht and ended up in my rack.
Okay, moving on. More H Naturals in August.
Yeah, the end of August was Stockholm, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong. Gavlar. It was wet. It was cold, and it was bloody expensive beer. That's what I remember.
Yeah, welcome to Sweden.
Yeah, and then popped over to Holland for two shows. One in Holland and one in the Boerderij. Zoetermeer.
Yes, Helmand, that was
Holland and Zoetermeer.
Yeah,
and I got to see the lovely Mark and Vanessa.
Yeah. Yeah, Zoetermeer was good. That was probably the best H Natural I've seen,
what was
I think.
Really strange on that in Helmand, and again, it was the first time he played that venue. It's a lovely venue, as they all are in Holland. Well run, really good setup. Mm. But he'd done spoken word that night of Kaylee.
Yeah.
Which no one saw coming. He hadn't sound checked it. Me and Phil looked at each other and go, really? Is he doing that? And I had goosebumps on spoken word on Kaylee. I never thought I'd ever hear him do that.
And then he came back to the UK for a gig in Newcastle.
I did. I jumped then straight back and came up and met with you, Retrobates, in for Still Marillion at the famous Clooney.
Yeah.
Great venue.
We love the Clooney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's I might have answered it wrong. The Clooney.
Steven's still involved.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean,
Razor T-shirts.
It's a regular, it's an annual booking for them there, isn't it? And I think every time we go, the crowds are getting bigger, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, another top night.
Yeah, they just do it right there, don't
into
they?
It's September, and it's more Mr. Rothery and Mr. Hogarth, I think, isn't it, really?
So yeah, Rothery done a load of shows around Europe. Apparently went down a storm, sold out everywhere, really big crowds, Poland, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Holland. He'd done quite a few shows.
I think one of the major draws, though, was doing Misplaced and Clutching at Straws. Yeah. I mean, that there will just make people flock to it straight away.
Yeah.
And with Rothers on there and with Martin singing, I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah.
No.
It's
formula.
Well, you all read the story on Facebook, didn't you, over the weekend? That I went to this. I was at a gig on Saturday night. And,
yeah.
This woman taps us on the shoulder and said, I don't normally like tribute bands. And then completely at random, my husband said, there's this one called Still Marillion that I like, though. So,
they are the best.
Can't go anywhere, can you?
Can't go anywhere.
Into October.
September. Caden Boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
Caden Boundaries, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, just to see H half an hour up the road for me was incredible. And such a... I misjudged it, though. I didn't buy a meal. I'm such a cheapskate. I arrived there at 7 o'clock.
And I had to wait for two and a half hours.
The lady said, you can hang around the bar for 2 hours if you want, watching people eat. I said, no, I'll go and listen to the football in the car. And then it came back at 9. But I've been there, obviously, again in December. But a great venue, lovely people. Yeah, I don't know if H obviously loves it, Mike, does he?
Yeah, well, it's strange because obviously it's Bloodbean's galleries there as well. So you've got all the Yes and Asia and everyone else that he's done up on the walls upstairs, and you can buy all the stuff. It's also a furniture and antique shop and a gift shop. It's a bar and a restaurant and a hotel.
Is there anything they don't do?
Well, they've got everything going on, but Michael Tracy and Michael's son, whose name I'm sure it's Alex, but it's escaping me at the minute. Ollie. His name's Ollie. So it's Ollie, Michael, and Tracy run it. And my God, it's fantastic. And that's why bands want to keep going back there, as they're well looked after. It on paper, it doesn't sound like it's going to work. A candlelit three course meal and an evening with your favorite artist, but it really does work.
Mm.
It works really well. I thought, you know, H liked it that much that he booked another night that night that he was there before he came. You know, before he'd gone off to bed, he booked another night. It was that good.
Pounds?
Yeah, Mark, am I right in saying that H was a bit concerned about going there for quite a few years? He was a little bit sceptical about going there.
I think it's the whole issue of this candlelit meal, sitting down and you becoming a cabaret act. But it's not that at all. The artist doesn't come on stage until everyone's finished their dessert. It's still a bit weird that you're looking out and there's all these rows of tables and candles and stuff. But it works really well, yeah. And that's their unique selling point. It's what the Crooked Bill do. The Crooked Bill do exactly the same.
You get used to it as well, because obviously if you're standing, you just have to stand around the back, kind of just crane your neck around. But it's fine. I thought it was brilliant.
It's the middle of nowhere. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, I play football up there, so I'm used to it. Yeah. But it is in the middle of nowhere. There's no access. Yeah. it's a bit hard to get to.
Yeah, it's a non-starter for us up in the north. You know, I've looked at it a couple of times. I thought I quite fancied it, but there's not really anywhere to stay around there. Is there?
Stay with me.
There's a Premier Inn 5 miles away. The town 5 miles away, Uckfield, that's got a load of hotels. But Drayton Boundaries have actually got 10 rooms as well available.
Right.
Sounds a bit like Birdwell Club in Barnsley. What do you reckon, John?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. It's reminded me of that already.
But without the three-course meal or the nice venue. Well,
best of order for the turn.
Yeah, choice of salt and vinegar, cheese and onion bars. What do you want?
Garlic bread. Looking, it's the future. Yeah.
I was going to say, if you're lucky, you may get some tripe and onions. You know, if you've had your large sandwiches.
They're hard butties, yeah.
They're a meat raffle.
That's another story.
Do they have a meat
Best
raffle?
Best of order. Are you affiliated, though? That's the question.
Yeah.
Well, moving into October, it's still more Mr. H, isn't it? Yeah. At the Crooked Billet.
It didn't stop. So, yeah, 3 nights at the Crooked Billet. This was the odd one. This is the one that when he advertised it, he advertised the Tuesday night first. And he hadn't advertised it. It was actually the Crooked Billet advertised it. And Paul Seymour, I know a lot of people, listeners, and he'll be listening, a lot of people know him. Him and his wife, Denise, do the sound and light for most of the bands there. He actually put it out on Facebook, and it was sold out within minutes. It was a bit like the Royal Albert Hall. It was selling out in minutes. But it was old school. You don't have a website. You have to ring up, and the person behind the bar answers the phone. They'll take your name and credit card details, and they'll ring you back later to say, yeah, you're confirmed. So you don't actually know at that point you've got a ticket. So the Tuesday night, everyone went for it. And of course, that sold out. So we put the Monday night in. So everyone thought they were going to the first night on the Tuesday. And that ended up being the second night. So we done Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, sold out. But it's just the nostalgia of being back in the Crooked Billet.
Because he didn't play in that room, did he?
No. The room that Marillion originally played in, which is, it's a tiny little quaint room full of pictures and, you know, antique tables now. It's a restaurant room. That's the green room when bands are playing. That's his dressing room. And some bands do play in there. You know, there was a band, I think there was an acoustic session on last week in that room. But at the back of the pub or attached to it, there's a marquee, which is about 5 times the size of the pub. Permanent marquee, and that's where the bands play. It's quite a nice room. It's really nice. Yeah. It's the only venue where the merch table has a keg of real ale on. It's the future.
You're going to ask for that everywhere now, aren't you?
Well, definitely. But there was also a live stream from there. Tim and the guys from Towards Infinity came in and done a live stream on the Thursday. So that went out. So that'll be a DVD, no doubt, at some point in the future.
Possibly. You're not announcing that, are you?
No, I'm not announcing it. I'm saying that will be happening, yes. Yeah.
To clarify, yeah. And then Paris? Did you go to Paris?
Then it was on to Paris, Barcelona and Madrid. So we went over in the... me and Hell's done a road trip in the motorhome, so went over, done Paris, got the hell out of Dodge, had a couple of days' grace, met up with the lovely Mrs. K for in Barcelona, which is lovely.
Really enjoyed it.
Aaron Lewis, is it Louis?
Ryan.
Ryan, sorry, I don't know who Louis is, but you know.
Who the fuck's Louis?
Don't mention Aaron Louis.
Aaron Ryan came in the evening to
show. Oh, again. Was there a Louis? Was it not some Spanish bloke with a beard, was it?
No, it definitely was Ryan. And there was a, I can't remember his surname, I want to say Pep Cannell, but I don't think it is. I think
it's not. It's not.
That might be.
I saw the notes. No, I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
He's on a live album with H.
He is.
Pep Sala, that's it. Pep Sala.
Yeah, he's a very famous Catalan musician who my
Pepson's
never heard of.
Yeah, so he came on stage and done some songs of H, and that went down storm. People loved it.
Yeah, Vanessa was saying, you know, it was fairly laid back or whatever, and then he came on and it was just like phones.
Yeah.
Everybody phones in the air.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. But no, two... Three great shows. Paris was fantastic. Just the love in the room. It's a real. It doesn't matter whether it's Marillion playing Paris or H. There's a vibe. There's something different about the audiences there. And where they play. But that whole little mini tour around France and Spain was really well received and went down really well.
And something that isn't just H then, in October we got the Misplaced and the Clutching boxes were reissued again, or reprinted.
Yeah, second time round.
Third time round for Misplaced.
Yeah.
Second time for Clutching. I'd like to think we helped them sell out by reviewing both of those, didn't we, Mark?
Early on, yeah.
Another thing of note on my list here is the first Planet Marzipan podcast was...
The what?
Marzipan podcast went live in October.
September 23rd.
Yeah.
September 23rd, the pilot went out.
Was it any good, though?
I think it was amazing.
I think Barnes said, did you say it was life changing, Barnes? Is that right?
Something like that, yeah. Certainly the best thing on the internet.
As endorsed on Meridian Monthly, I think you'll find.
Yeah, I think it is. Right, so.
You are in the inner sanctum.
No.
Penetrated the band's inner circle.
No.
I was late to the party. I listened to them all. You kept me company on the drive from Madrid back to Calais.
I'm surprised you didn't nod off.
No, they were really... I'd messaged you while I was driving, when I stopped, didn't I? No, when I stopped. But I messaged you saying these are really bloody good.
Oh, it's just this, isn't it? It's
just mates having a chat.
Oh, just keep this bit going. Keep this bit going for at least 20 minutes.
Yeah, this is the trailer.
I thought episode 2 was great as well.
Into November then. No, before it's Christmas. Yay!
Hey.
Did anybody see anything in Europe?
Yes. Yeah. Utrecht, two nights in Utrecht.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Good venue, I hear.
Great venue.
Best venue in the world.
Always is, yeah. Two good shows.
They changed the set list a bit from the start, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
So they'd done Paris and Strasbourg, and then it was off into Utrecht for two nights. And I think because they had two nights in the one place, they were definitely more relaxed. Everyone was a bit tight, and they swapped things around. We got a... Was it the second night? Or that? I can't remember. The second
you got
night.
Ocean Cloud, didn't you?
Yeah, Cloud was the
And we got an
night,
instrumental. We got the instrumental, didn't we, of...
Hotel Hobbies, the other one.
Hotel Hobbies, yeah.
Yeah, Hotel Hobbies.
Yeah.
I think they'd been doing that. And yeah, I was listening back to the soundboards, and I think they'd been doing it as an... I thought they'd been doing it as an instrumental anyway.
Yeah, Into Slange, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just warm ups for the UK, though, surely.
I would say so, definitely.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How was Wolverhampton, Barnes?
Well, it's a bit of a blur, John, as well, you know. I mean, I've just about recovered from a bad back of sleeping in that hovel on both nights.
It was your bunk beds, wasn't it?
No, not that night.
That was Roundhouse.
Yeah, bunk beds is Roundhouse.
You might have heard that story, Mike. It got worse. It was worse than the first night. We ended up getting trunk beds in London. It looked like we were sleeping on a tour bus. Three of us in one room for 17 quid.
They're very close friends now.
It was pitiful. Absolutely pitiful.
What was that place in Wolverhampton where you couldn't lock the front door?
Yeah, that was quite... I don't know if you heard that story, but we couldn't lock the front door, so we just spread our pants on the floor so that if any burglars come, they can pinch our pants. Or tidy up. Or at least tidy up.
I told him there's a podcast in this, Barnsley's Rough Guide to the UK.
Look after the pennies, the pounds look after themselves.
Craig, what did you make of Wolverhampton, Craig?
It was bloody cold.
What about the gig?
I enjoyed it. It was odd. It was odd though, because I think it's one of the only times I've been at a gig, on a seated gig, where I didn't know the people next to us. So I was seated on my own. And
why is that?
Because I cocked up with the tickets. Didn't realise it was going to be a seated venue. I know, my fault.
I offered to buy him a ticket. He's like, no, I'll get one later. All right then, fair enough. But yeah, it was good. I mean,
I enjoyed the gig. It was really nice. They did a nice job of the Civic.
Yeah.
And
there was an issue with the seats though, wasn't there?
Some of the seats down the front, I think they had restricted, although apparently it did say restricted view on their tickets.
Well, it's more the leg room. I think some people, we were third, Dave and I were third row just in front of Pete, and there wasn't a lot. I mean, I was okay, but the guy sat next to me actually went and stood at the side of the room because he couldn't sit down. His knees were right in the back of the person in front of him, which is a shame because the rest of the refit looks really nice. Mm. But yeah, I enjoyed the gig.
I've got to say, John, we ended up in the standing, well, not standing seats, the standing area, which essentially is the stand at the back.
Yes, as
we sort of suspected it would be, but it was still, you know, some of us like that sort of thing. Standing at the back, you can't see very much, but the sound was still great, and it's a, you know, you can at least jig about a bit, you know.
You can go to the bar.
Yeah, and that.
Yeah.
And since you're getting older, the toilet.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, you can jig around a bit. I like to describe it.
Okay. Well, the Roundhouse gig was the last gig of the tour. We're all there apart from Mark, weren't we?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the venue first?
Well, I liked H's analogy of the place.
What?
It'd be like it was the Royal Albert Hall bombed and then rebuilt really quickly.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I think beforehand I was kind of a bit down on it, wasn't I? I think in the pub I was saying, if you don't get in near the front, you're out on the kind of periphery, and they've got the big pillars and things. But actually, me and my cousin managed to get by the soundboard, and I have to say it was like amazing. Like, the sound was incredible. H's voice, I don't think I've heard. I think on his podcast that he sang better at Wolverhampton, but that must have been mind blowing because the Saturday night in London was Sunday night. Sorry, in London was just incredible.
I've been seeing both. Sunday was way better than Wolves.
Oh, was it?
Way better than Wolves.
Do you reckon that's because it's standing, John, or do you reckon that makes no difference?
Yeah, no, I think it does make a difference. Although, you know, I'm of a certain age now and I quite like a seated gig, but it does make a difference for the atmosphere, definitely. I've heard a lot of my friends. I mean, Barnes, you were fairly near the back, weren't you, the Roundhouse?
Yeah, perhaps a tad too close to the back, really. If we'd arrived a bit earlier, a bit more grown up, we'd have been slightly closer.
But it was rammed full, though. It was really. I've not been to a Marillion gig in as long as I can remember that was actually as cramped.
Yeah, right.
Where you had no space at all.
Cockpit, loot.
Yeah.
But you've got special memories of that gig, Mark, haven't you?
Sweat dripping on us.
You will stand in a fire exit and watch a gig. That's up to you. we went relatively early, didn't we? We went probably about an hour before doors.
Yeah.
And we were about four back in front of Rothers, so we had a reasonable view. But I think Craig, did he get backache or you need the loo or something? He left.
A bit of both.
He left just before the end of the main set to go and get some air and some space, and there was no air and space.
No, it was rammed right back to the bars and right back to the fire exits, stuff like that as well. It was... I wouldn't say it was one of my favourite London venues. Look, aesthetically looks quite nice, sounds quite nice in it, but I just found it a bit more oppressive than some of the other venues I've been to.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of trying to put across to you when we were in the pub earlier. I saw Crowded House there, and it was the same. You felt like if you weren't kind of there early, you were just on the periphery.
Yeah.
But as I say, it was great, both great gigs. So,
well, the ticketing as well. I'm always nervous with an e-ticket or a phone ticket. Mm. And I got in with the ticket, and then we went upstairs to go into the main room, and they wanted to scan it again.
Yeah, and you'd lost your signal.
And I lost my signal. I couldn't get it back. And the woman said, "We've got free Wi-Fi." And I actually got a bit shirty with her and said, "I've not stayed outside in the rain for an hour to stand here getting your free Wi-Fi to get in." Mm. She said, "Well, I just want to make sure you're in the right area." And I said, "I'm in the right area." And I walked past her.
Do you know who I am?
No.
I'm John Merrick. I'm not having it.
What about the band then? How good were the band at the Roundhouse?
I thought they played blinding gigs. They were on fire. They seemed to be enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
I don't remember any cock-ups, you know?
No, H was very chatty at the Roundhouse, wasn't he?
Yeah. And I think Lewis Jardine just brings something totally different. I mean, he brings something different because he plays something different every single time he plays the same song.
Never the same twice.
No, it's never the same. But it's amazing watching. Ian watches him a lot.
Yeah.
I've noticed. I was sat upstairs on both shows and actually was able to watch it. And it's interesting. I'm mesmerised by Lewis. Mesmerised.
Yeah. Did you see that thing he had with the I think it's Duran Quartz. It's like he just leans over and picks all. He's got like a dustbin lid and
oh,
God
yeah,
knows
with
what. And
tambourines on
and
and
it's
stuff,
about
yeah.
it's about 3 foot wide, and
yeah,
he's just
yeah.
giving it a
Do
Aldi.
you think any time he goes to an Italian restaurant, they have to watch him that he's not going to start stealing kind of like Parmesan kind of cheese graters and stuff like that?
Well, that time when we saw him at York at the Barbican, and he got the bell out, but he hit it with a spanner.
Yeah.
Hit it with a spanner.
So I suppose you have to watch him. He goes to the B&Q as well.
Yeah. I do love it. The fact that he's obviously a genius, but yeah. there's times when they kind of look around like, well, I was expecting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some lovely little...
by surprise, yeah.
As someone who does the same kind of thing for my mate, it's like I have to kind of... I try not to... like be obtrusive and just kind of rein it in a bit.
No surprises, yeah.
I would actually be in hysterics, Gary, if he turned up on stage at some point with a hat stand.
Yeah. Yeah, who would do that? Or a suitcase.
Yeah, who would do that?
God, yeah, that's apparently I'm the number one hat stand player in England. So
you are, yes, definitely. In Europe.
That's a claim to fame.
The world. Yeah.
I said, Mike, do you reckon they raise the game when Lewis is there? Do you reckon they all slightly like the headmasters in town? They all
I think so. Well, I mean, look, Lewis is so professional, and you know, is the variety of albums that he's been on and bands that he's been with, everyone wants him. But I don't know whether it's because of him, but there's certainly something different. I mean, they're playing the best they've ever played, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, they're a band that's still the trajectory's still going up. You know,
yeah.
It's not petering off and going into smaller venues and clubs. They're still up
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it's hard to explain to because obviously a lot of my friends aren't Marillion fans, and they say every week I seem to be going off to see them, yeah. but obviously not. But it's hard to explain to them how just brilliant they are, and because they just don't get it, and they are just getting better, and those gigs prove it.
I think the 2 days of, you know, hate singing for 2 days definitely improves his voice. The first night is always better.
Right.
In my opinion, again. Yeah. But I think the 2 nights are working for him and for the others. They all seem to want the 2 nights.
I think that's it. We were chatting to a guy in the queue at the Roundhouse, and he's still a big fan, but he hasn't liked the last two albums. So he's not, you know, not feeling it like we are at the minute. I mean... we haven't covered Fear or An Hour Before It's Dark yet, so I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, I think An Hour Before It's Dark is one of the best albums of their career. Yeah. And to be doing it at this point in their career is just phenomenal.
I mean, how many other bands do you see who've been going for even 10, 15, 20 years, never mind the 40 years that they've been going, who've actually became that own tribute act where they'll...
the nostalgia.
Yeah. Where they just live off nostalgia. You know, they've had a career for like 5 or 10 years, and then the last 25 years has been nostalgia.
Yeah, mm.
yeah. I don't get it because obviously, I subscribe to Mojo magazine, and the album didn't get a review. And to me, like the Pink Floyd was on the cover, Genesis, all kinds, and it baffles me why they don't get reviewed in there. It's just. And for an album that is, one of their best albums, so many years down the line, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think Ant Short, I watched the Marillion Monthly today with Ant Short was on it, and he kind of summed it up for me when he said, we want them to be bigger, but we don't want them to be too big because we like what we've got at this level.
Mm.
You know, so what I like...
Yeah.
Why don't more people listen to them? But then if they did,
we'd
be going to Wembley Arena all the time.
Well, we got that, John, didn't we? Back in the day when we were doing the clubs, the smaller clubs and smaller theatres, and then it was the NEC. I can remember being front row for years and then the back row of the NEC, thinking, oh, shit, they've got to where I wanted them to be, and now I can't see them.
Yeah.
No?
It's a dilemma, isn't it, really? But
yeah,
I think the level that they're at now is comfortable financially for them. And it continues to give them the freedom and the artistic freedom to do what they want.
Mm.
So they've got the best of both worlds there. You know, they can if they desperately need to kind of earn some money, they'll just go, well, let's just do like Brave at the Royal Albert Hall or something like that. You know, the stuff they can do.
You wouldn't let it lie, would you? You wouldn't let it lie.
I want Brave at the Royal Albert Hall.
You know anything we don't, Craig?
No, no.
Anyway, huh? Craig, it's not about them, it's about us.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's all about their social life. That's what we're supposed to be talking about here.
Large sandwiches.
Yes, that's where it's at.
I've got a craving now.
They're delicious. That's another story.
Well, the last release of the year, well, actually, the last but one release of the year is the aforementioned And Now Before It's Dark Live with PZ, which we've just reviewed. But, you know, I said in the pod that I think it's the best, obviously this is a CD, but I think it's the best live film that they've ever put out. I think it's stunning visually and it sounds amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you, John.
Yeah.
Father Christmas is bringing mine, so I've not seen
it. Is he? Oh, he says he loves it, actually, yeah.
He's been playing it, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's slightly dog-eared, yours, Barnes, but it's on its way.
Yeah, you're getting a bootleg version, Barnes.
One thing we haven't really touched on, and this was a re-release, though, was it, Mike?
That came
Live
out.
Live Body, Live Spirit.
It did. It came out on the day before it arrived, the day before the Liverpool show. So it is just a complete reprint. The only difference is, for the nerds out there who want something different, it's a different font on the spine. Ooh. That's the only difference.
Was that your fault, Mr. Kennedy?
It's a different font everywhere.
You have
actually
a signed copy, John, don't you?
I do, yes. That's the difference. But
yeah, the disc's different. Is the disc not different as well?
The original's got a slip
cover. Oh, a slip cover. Yeah, the original's got the slip cover, yeah.
But it's still a great album, and it hasn't been available for a long time. So,
and still available at Rackers and on a merch disc when H is touring.
Better printed than the original. The booklet on the original is all skew whiff. But there you go. So the last release is the Web Christmas CD with a great version of Greg Lake's "I Believe in Father Christmas."
Really is good. I think the whole production of it's fantastic. Mm. Really well done.
And it's nice to get the audio from the first half of Sunday Night at PZ as well.
Born to Run's on there, I've heard.
It is.
I tell you what we didn't get. We haven't had on the last couple, have we? We haven't actually had a Christmas message.
No.
But I'd rather have a best recorded Christmas song. I think the phrase I used in the episode that's gone out today is some of the Christmas songs are tossed off. It's not a technical term. Gary will correct me on that. It's not a technical term.
No, I love this version. I wasn't so keen on the Mariah Carey one.
You're going to give him ammunition there, aren't you, there, Gary?
But it's my least favourite Christmas song ever. The Mariah Carey song.
But I thought the version was a bit tired and a bit kind of just a bit obvious. But this is brilliant. I played it on my radio show, plugging that on Sunday. And,
So Gary,
where can you hear the radio show?
Yes.
Oh, Hailsham FM. I'll be playing it again on, it'll be out of date by then. But yeah, every Sunday morning, 10 till 1 on hailshamfm.co.uk.
Gary Page, there you go.
Yeah, he's all the rage. I do. It's difficult because obviously I'm such a massive Marillion fan, but love like indie music mainly and REM, those kind of bands. So I kind of do play Marillion more than I should do. But I don't care. I'll crowbar him in where I can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, 2023, how was it for you?
Busy.
Well, obviously, Mike, you've not been at home much of it, have you?
Been living out of a suitcase for most of it, haven't you?
It was bloody good fun, though.
It looks it.
I think that's, you know, that's an awful lot of, there's been a lot of activity this year.
Yeah.
You know, which you'll... Not going to be much next year.
I was going to say, next year's review of the year, we'll be able to do in about 20 minutes, won't we?
Just be the Steve Rothery tour.
Well, no, I mean, surely it'll be this Strange Engine remix, which is summer. There'll be another Port Zealand Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, there'll be the retail version, won't there?
Well, there'll be the other half. There'll be Sunday night, Friday night with the other half of Sunday. Barnes, have you got an exclusive?
Well, no, I'm going to make it up. Because we can. Is it the 30th year of Brave this year?
Yes. Yeah. 7th of January.
Because I've heard completely unofficially that there's going to be a pitch black playback of it.
Oh, yeah. You offered that up, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not based on any facts, but I reckon if we keep traction going, at some point it's going to happen. I have sent a message to the fellow who runs it as well, for what it's worth.
You went to the Stephen Wilson one, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been to a few, actually, yeah. That's great. I mean, it's a bit like going to an art gallery for years. So if you're really thinking about travelling halfway across the world to listen to a CD, you've got to be sort of keen. You know what I mean? But if you live within 20 miles away and you just want to sit there and really absorb the music, it's well worth 15 quid of anyone's money.
What you'd have to do is drag Lucy there so she can actually hear what a 5.1 sounds like.
Yes, as far as Lucy's concerned, it's an underground club, that, you know, there's no marquee for 5.1. So
anyway, top tip, if it does happen, don't go to the pub beforehand, because when it's all gone dark, you're not allowed to go to the toilet.
Well,
you have to take a bottle of ambience, yeah?
Or you do it where you sat.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Mind you, is there many blokes of our age or slightly older who could actually cope for 70 odd minutes with it?
30 years, though, that's like incredible to think the album is 30 years. I was 18 when it came out, just to put it out there. But yeah, I can't believe it's 30 years.
It was my first ever CD, just so you know.
Was it?
What, Brave?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it?
Well, I was coming out of my student days at the time, so I just treated myself to a Dixon's CD player at the time. So I thought I'll treat myself and get Brave as my first CD.
Very good.
It's a good one. Good one to have, isn't it?
Never listen to it. I'm joking.
So we've got 30 years of Brave this year and also 30 years of Suits as well.
All right. Mm. That's going to be a busy year, though. Yeah. Still playing at Leicester, two-nighter, two-eventer.
Well, yeah, there's quite a lot of tribute band stuff going on. There may be some Rothery stuff, which obviously Lucy's really over the moon about. And I would imagine if Rothers has managed to wangle a pass out, then H will do the same.
It's going to be like Herdy Pittens, isn't it?
I'm not looking at you for that. But yeah, it's 2023 was a good year for the band and good year for the fans, would you say?
Right, yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Benson here for the fans, as usual.
I'm just glad they're still around.
God, yeah. We were talking about this last week, though. What, like, I don't want to go drop it down enough, but what we're going to do when it stops, you know?
I'm going to stop, Mike. It's going on forever.
I think it was you I was saying it to in London. It was us having a conversation.
Going on forever. There's at least another 50 years in them. At least another 50.
It's all right. Yeah, you know what you're going to have to do, Barnes? You're going to have to start doing one of the ABBA Voyage things.
Yeah, you could do that now. Do the groundwork now, Barnes. Yeah.
Brilliant avatars.
Yeah, we'll see how we go.
I would love to take my son Thomas to see him. He's six. And just, yeah, 10 years. If they can hold on for 10 years. Well, yeah, it'd be great. Whether he wants to go or not.
Yeah, he's got to go. It's part of his education. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Totally.
He doesn't have to be that old, because Zoe, who's my eldest niece, her first Fish gig, she was only, what was she, 8?
Yeah.
And her first Marillion gig, she was only like 11 or 12, so didn't have to wait that long.
Wow. Yeah. He's already got sideburns, so yeah, give it a look.
Have you drawn them on?
No, it's just naturally hairy.
Stop sending him to the bar. Anyway, on that bombshell, if you're listening to this now,
Happy New Year!
It's 2024.
Wow.
Happy New Year.
It's been a great year. Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Another fantastic New Year. We'll all go see him on the cruise, shall we?
No.
No.
On that bombshell, thank you very much to our guest, Gary.
Thank you, John.
Thanks,
mate. See you later.
Mike.
Yes, guys.
And from Cradleston, myself.
And Mark Kennedy.
And Mark Kennedy and Lucy Jordash for the first half. A very happy new year. And we'll see you in 2024. Take care.
And stay alive.
Thanks for listening to Planet Marzipan Podcast. Please like and subscribe from whichever platform you get your podcasts from. You can contact us at planetmarzipanpodcast@gmail.com and check out marillion.com, fishmusic.scot or fishmusic.eu for all the good stuff.